This is Graham Joffe with Sports Fire.
Right, it's time to turn our attentions to rugby, and this World Rugby Update is brought to you by First Cut. First Cut, a leading South African distributor of capital equipment in partnership with Bystronic. First Cut is the exclusive supplier of Bystronic high-quality machines and systems for the economical processing of sheet metal and other flat materials. For laser cutting, water jet cutting and bending solutions, visit www.firstcut.co.za. Well, at least we are going to have a South African in the World Cup final. Craig Joubert, the IRB appointment for the World Cup final, and justly deserved. He's had a great World Cup. He's handled some big games, including the one over the weekend between New Zealand and Australia. And certainly David Pocock and Richie McCaw didn't get away with too much on the ground. So Craig Joubert will be reffing the World Cup final this weekend, which is a fantastic achievement for a South African. If I'm not mistaken, maybe one or two before have hosted. Andre Watson, I think, has done one or two World Cup finals in the past. You know, Norm, you look like you're itching to say something.
No, I'm just worried to say about who did anything in the last World Cup. Didn't you hear the Oak in the show before? He was going on about, yeah, there was an Oak who did a football World Cup. But hey, good news, he died 4 years later. I mean, what kind of sports reporting is that? But we're going to start cutting ourselves with, you know, man. But I think Andre Watson only did it once.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, we're still talking about rugby. Sorry, man.
All right, our Sports Fire rugby analyst Dan Retief is with us. Dan, good evening to you.
Yes, hi, Joffers. I'm up at Hazy View at Salvi River Bungalows, so I'm probably in a much better mood than you are.
What are you doing? I mean, is it holiday time?
Well, I had to get over the Rugby World Cup disappointment. You know?
How's it, Dan?
How's it, Dan? I had to take myself away to the bush.
Is the bush on fire, Dan?
No.
Then why have you got a Hazy View?
Oh, boy. All right, I've cut his mic now. He's done, Dan. Right, obviously, great news for us, Dan. I mean, at least we've got some South African in the final representation. Craig Joubert, he's had a great World Cup, but really a just appointment.
Oh, no, absolutely, Graham. You know, everybody that I've spoken to has said that Craig has been far away the best referee, and there's no doubt he has been, you know. So it's a wonderful honour to get a final. You know, he'll referee the third final by a South African, seeing as Andre Watson refereed two, you know, so that is well deserved, and it is something the referees got right in this Rugby World Cup, because let's face it, they haven't got a tremendous amount right up to now, you know. So what did surprise me, though, Alain Roland, you know, handled the previous World Cup final. I understand that. I think he's a very good referee. And by the way, red-carding Sam Warburton was correct. I don't think he had much choice on that one. But there's Nigel Owens running the touchline. Now, there's a referee that completely lost control of our game against Samoa. And he gets to be, you know, like one of three in a World Cup final, you know. So however much the referees like to tell us that that some discipline is handed down, that there's some punishment for handling bad games, it clearly doesn't happen, because Nigel Owens, I thought had a really poor performance in our game against Samoa. Not so much in applying the law, but not protecting players when there was some sort of dirty stuff going on. That said, there's another factor to me in Craig Joubert's appointment, because Craig Joubert, I thought, was very good in the All Blacks game against Australia, and he immediately came down on David Pocock. And now you have to ask Paddy O'Brien, if the guy that referees the Rugby World Cup final, who is Craig Joubert, thinks that David Pocock is sometimes illegal and penalises him, but Bryce Lawrence doesn't penalise him, surely that is an admission that Bryce Lawrence had that game wrong, the game that caused us to be out of the Rugby World Cup. So it really, it doesn't make you feel any better about that game, because I think Craig Joubert was correct, that that Pocock is often off his feet, he's often in the side, and he got penalised for that. And funny enough, I don't know if you've picked up, but one of these haven't complained too much about Craig Joubert. It's almost as though they concede that they got away with a bit of murder in the Bryce Lawrence refereeing of our quarterfinal.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that's a scar that's never going to heal, you know, because it's going to be like Wayne Barnes and the All Blacks and Bronson Cardiff. That'll linger on forever.
Right, Danny, another thing for the IRB. What about the World Cup format? The two semi-finals, two tries. Neither game really appealed to me. I mean, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, yeah, there's no doubt. I think if you start wrapping up the Rugby World Cup, unfortunately, you're going to talk about referees, and then you're going to talk about some quite dull rugby and the fact that the teams don't score tries, and that it really is becoming a game about defence rather than attack. And the aim of the game, if you read the law book, the aim of the game is to carry the ball and score a try. And they've really gone away from that. I think one of the things that did go wrong is that the referees didn't do what O'Brien promised, and that is to keep players off the ball, to really police the offsides, to really police the releasing of the man on the ground. All of those things make the game a lot quicker. And in fact, you recall in Super Rugby when it was done sort of very energetically, South African sides struggled, especially the Bulls struggled in Super Rugby because they didn't like that faster game that kind of law application was causing. You know, so they definitely have to go back. And where they've got to start, yet again, is with the breakdown. And I think where they had it in Super Rugby, where they were requiring the tackler to let go, they were requiring the man on the ground to place the ball very quickly, everything had to happen immediately, that actually worked. We saw a lot of spectacular games because of that. And I think rugby has to take that on board because they compete with football, they compete with all other kind of major sporting events, and they have to make the game more attractive.
And then also, you know, you have a team like France. Let's be honest. They lost two games in their pool. They've scraped into the final. The World Cup format, it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that's odd. France, the first side ever, you know, to get through having lost two games. And then also you have a situation with France in their game against Wales. Now, obviously Wales, it's a tremendous blow to lose your captain, your key ball winner. And you know, I think that effectively put Wales away. But saw a team in France who didn't attempt to play any rugby in that game, and they got through to a World Cup final. You know, now there again, the lawmakers have to move against that and eradicate that absolute negative play. You know, it's strange that of all teams, you know, France, you talk about flair and finesse and panache, you know, but the one team that just was prepared to absolutely close the game down. And they nearly paid the price when Wales got a breakaway try, and if some kicks had gone over, France were out. But no, Joffa, the points you make are all valid. They have to somehow look at this. They have to look at the seeding situation, maybe, where South Africa, you know, riding there at number two or number one after the Rugby World Cup, then number two, never worse than three. But they end up in an incredibly hard pool, you know. Surely you sort of deserve an easier pool for having ruled the tournament, the international scene, you know. So whereas New Zealand, who'd been number one for a lot of time, actually had a distinctly easier pool, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot. I think there's a lot for the IRB to take on board, and there's a lot for them to fix.
Yeah, I guess they'll say the New Zealand-France pool was the pool of death with them getting to the final. Right. Your prediction. Sunday.
Yeah, isn't that funny that the finalists come out of the same pool? I mean, incredible.
Yeah.
You know, nobody would ever have predicted that, and you would never have got odds on that. My prediction for the final, I think New Zealand, the All Blacks, are going to win it, their second title. I think you saw the pace and the eagerness and the energy they had against the Wallabies. They struggled to maintain that a bit, but I just think New Zealand are going to play just too fast for the French. And French, to me, don't look a particularly good side. They play periods of quite good rugby, but I don't think they play sustained good rugby. And they got through only because Wales had to play with 14 men, you know. So I'm calling it All Blacks. I called it before the tournament.
You did.
I've also had a feeling that there might be some other forces at work, you know, with all the things that have happened to New Zealand, with New Zealand not having won it for a long time, with finally having a World Cup at home, probably the last one they'll ever present because you've seen the money they've lost on it, the smaller crowds, it doesn't suit the TV audience. And I think this one is the All Blacks to take. You know, they'll be playing. It would be for New Zealand like ours was in 95, just carried on the wings of angels, if I can use the phrase. You know?
And then, I mean, even before that, Friday at 9:30 our time, Wales against Australia. What a ball like that is to come back now and play a playoff for third.
Oh, yeah, who wants it? You know, I cannot believe that IOB stays with this third place playoff. You know, nobody wants it. Nobody's interested in it. Nobody wants to play it. They've all dropped out of the semi-finals. They hurt. They want to go home. You know, Wales, their captain's been suspended and banned. You know, they've done the tournament. The Wallabies are feeling hurt. And every tournament, and guess what? They put it back every time. Now, I used to investigate that, and they said it had something to do with seeding. Then I said, guys, but the previous World Cup seeding is not as important as the seeding's only done 18 months out, and it's gone according to the world ranking. So why do you need this third place? What are you telling me? Guess what it is? It's television.
Yeah,
it's
money.
It's pay TV. They need that extra game because from Saturday to Saturday, they say, guys, give us another game, you know, and something else to show. We can't wait for a whole week without another game. So it's the TV organizations that put up all the money that effectively fund rugby. They say, give us another game. And as you well know, they call it product. They don't even call it rugby. They call it product, and that is why this game is taking place. And whenever it happens, my heart bleeds for the players that have to be involved in it because they really have no interest.
Curry Cup product this weekend, semi-finals, two big games, 2:30 p.m. Sharks against Cheetahs, this is Saturday, 5 p.m. Lions against Western Province. Oh, and Dan, the Bucks have made a huge difference. I mean, the Sharks beating the Lions 53-9. I know that John Mitchell had made about seven changes, but the Bucks make a massive difference.
Yeah, I think it was a hard game for the Lions to play. A, they weren't playing with the side that had carried them that far. And B, I think to be motivated, because whatever happened, they topped the log. They were going to be number one. So I'm sure their focus was lacking. They might have been a little bit complacent. But the other point that is made very graphically by the return of the Springboks is that those high-quality players are definitely high-quality players because you see the difference they make, you know. So I don't think there needs to be great panic in the ranks of the Lions. You know, they didn't play their best side, which means John Mitchell has been able to rest some players that might have been a little bit bruised, that might have needed an extra week. And they can come back firing, playing on their home ground. I see the Lions are going to stay at what we call Ellis Park, Coca-Cola Park. They're going to stay there. So there's a lot to play for. Hard field, fast field. And I think the Lions can take Western Province by playing the quick game that they've really developed this season. And doing what they've done to Western Province quite recently on Coca-Cola Park. And it's just play wide and outpace them.
And Sharks, Cheetahs?
Oh, that's an interesting one. You know, because the Cheetahs are a strange side as well, because they hit these purple patches where they're almost unbeatable, you know. But the Sharks have got their Springboks back, and they'll take a lot from that wonderful performance against the Lions, because it takes some doing. You know, I know I've defended the Lions, but to score 50 points, that takes some doing, you know. So I think the Sharks at home... history has shown that home side advantage is very important in the Curry Cup. So I think we're steering towards a Lions-Sharks final at the park in Johannesburg.
Those words are the best you've ever said on Sportsfire. Love your work.
Dan, for you.
Dan Retief, our Sportsfire rugby analyst. Dan, you're a champion, and enjoy the rest of your time out there in Hazyview.
Super. Thanks, Joffers.
Cheers, Dan Retief. This World Rugby Update was brought to you by First Cut. First Cut, a leading South African distributor of capital equipment in partnership with Bistronic. First Cut is the exclusive supplier of Bistronic high-quality machines and systems for the economical processing of sheet metal and other flat materials. For laser cutting, water jet cutting, and bending solutions, visit www.firstcut.co.za.